Our first Bible reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and beginning at verse 11. If you'd like to follow it on the Bible in the pews, it's on page 60. This is the second part, as it were, of the story of Moses and the burning bush when God speaks to him. And this is his conversation, or part of it, with God, beginning at verse 11 in chapter 3 of Exodus. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 25 to 40, and can be found on page 1070 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus, the bread of life. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you both. Please keep that passage open. Page 1070. We're going to look at it together. And it's always good to have your Bibles open when you're having a sermon to check that the preacher's not just making stuff up. And let's pray for God's help. Father God, as we come to this passage of your scriptures, help us to understand what it was that was going on then, and help us to see how it might be relevant to us today. Amen. Well, I'd like you to start off by imagining. Imagine a majestic king comes into town. He comes to your house, to your front door, with a present for all his loyal subjects. And the presents are spectacular. They're life-changing in value. And it's presented personally by the king. It's going to make a difference to life right away. And this is brilliant. And then we start to see how different people react. Some, well, they sort of want to earn this present. They start bringing things from home to swap for more. Here's a model elephant I made. Here's some certificates I got from college. Here's an award for charity work that I did. It's as if they're somehow hearing, come, bring your small things, your small goodnesses and your minor successes, and swap them for the king's glory. Others, well, they don't recognize who this king is. They swiftly take and they enjoy the present, but they ignore the king. It's as if they're hearing, come, take my gift, enjoy all that I have made and provided for you, but don't worry about relating to me. And we start to wonder as we're looking on this, will any see beyond the gift to the giver? Will any see beyond the gift to the giver? Well, as you join us in our Bible passage for today, we're going through these sections in John. So if you haven't been around the last couple of weeks, you'll need to know that we've had the feeding of the 5,000, that famous story. Jesus gave thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish and then fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And the people who are involved in that are amazed. They want to grab Jesus and make him king already. Well, he disappears. He crosses the lake to the other side of the Lake of Galilee. And then some people catch up with him here in verse 25. And so Jesus now wants to explain there's a deeper meaning to this feeding miracle. It points to something greater. It's not just about bread and fish, but it's about life. Life now and life forever. So that last verse in our section, verse 40, Jesus said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Jesus is the King, and his gift is life and life forever. Well, how does Jesus describe this life? In verse 35, he says, life is not having hunger or thirst. Now, with what Jesus is talking about, it's obvious this isn't physical hunger and thirst in the first place. This is the hunger and thirst of our souls. A hunger and thirst which we see acted out by celebrities and on social media, as well as amongst those we know. And if we're honest, our own hunger and thirst. When we ask, who am I? What am I worth? What am I for? How am I doing in life? How should I live to be fulfilled? These are huge questions for a Sunday morning. But Jesus makes them even bigger because he's not just talking about this life, but life forever. And 39 and 40, he says, life is being raised up through death to eternal life. And when he talks about bread, well, bread is a basic necessity of life. Bread is the stuff that we need to eat every day. But when he talks about being the bread of life, well, that is food that endures, that we need for eternal life. This is deep stuff. I don't know if you've got your deep stuff brains on this morning. But the people who are listening in this passage, they're thinking of something else entirely. I remember reading this passage a few years ago and just laughing out loud as I read it and started to see what was going on. I don't know if you've ever had that thing where you're talking to someone about one thing, but they're hearing something completely else and are completely confused. And at the end, it's all sorts of confusion. Well, these people, they've chased Jesus around the lake because they've been in the feeding of the 5,000. And that magic bread that they got was obviously lip-smacking, tasty, good stuff. So you can imagine them dashing around and they've caught up with Jesus. Ah, Jesus, when did you get here? They're wanting something, and Jesus spots this. So in verse 26, he says, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. They immediately respond, well, what do we need to do for this food? Jesus says, believe in me. Their brains are still on the bread. In verse 30, they say, well, do us a miracle then, Jesus, so that we might believe. And if you want a suggestion as to what miracle, well, God provided bread from heaven for our ancestors. Do you know any similar tricks? Can you see what they're saying? We want some more bread. Jesus says, stop thinking about physical bread. What you need is a person who comes from my Father God. You need him like you need bread for life. Verse 34, they say, bread, you say, huh? Give us this bread. They've got a great focus. I mean, you've got to admire them. They've got their eyes on the prize. But the prize they seek is the bread Jesus provided. It is not Jesus himself. They've tasted good stuff, but they still do not recognize the one who gave it to them. Instead, some want to work for their good stuff. Did you spot that? What must we do to do the works God requires? Do. Jesus says, you don't do, you believe. I do the do. In verse 29, he says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Some wanted to benefit from the good stuff, the food, but ignore Jesus completely. The miracle was a sign pointing to who Jesus is, but they want to enjoy the signpost and ignore what it is pointing to. If you've been to a kind of famous holiday destination, maybe sort of Paris, and you're looking for the Eiffel Tower, you come to a signpost saying Tour d'Eiffel, somewhere down that way, and you start to enjoy, oh, this is a lovely signpost. What a wonderful shape. And the French have such a way with words, although they keep reversing them. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't you? You're not enjoying the signpost. You want to get to who the signpost is pointing to. They say, sir, from now on, give us this bread. They ask for the good stuff. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. This miracle points to me. As a slight side note, the I am statement, like I am the bread of life, is extra significant for those of you who might know your Bibles a bit better. The other reading that we had was from Exodus. God gives his name to his people. He says, I am who I am. I am the great I am. So Jesus is making a big claim for those who'd understand it. It's a big claim to be the Son of God. But he says with sadness, as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. Now let's pause and ask, so what? So what, Dave? Is any of this stuff happening in first century Palestine relevant to us today? Well, I wonder, do you, and I think this probably covers all of us, do you have a sense of morality, of a standard greater than ourselves, an ultimate sense of right and wrong? Even Hallie, as she grows up, some of her first words will be, that's not fair. Our kids get that very quickly, don't they? Their sense of right and wrong. You can tell something is unjust or immoral. Maybe even have a picture of a God who has made us. Maybe a sense of a judgment about how we live. And we ask, well, how do we be on the side of right? Well, maybe you're someone who wants to work for acceptance. You can't just receive being on the side of right. That's not how things work. Instead, as long as we do more good than bad, we'll be okay. What goes around comes around. You need to put more good into the world than bad. Do better, and then you'll feel better. I think lots, probably most people, live like that. It describes Islam and every Eastern religion and every other philosophy that I have found. And it's definitely how our whole culture is set up. If only I do better, then I deserve better. If I do mostly good, I will be okay. I wonder if that's you this morning. And Christians fall into this from time to time. When we think about earning blessings by our actions, we do good things at church and then God will be good to us. We need to remember we cannot and we do not need to earn this life. Maybe you need to hear that again this morning, because this is a bit like those subjects in our story earlier with the king who want to bring their things to exchange for the king's gift. Or maybe you want the good things from God but do not want to think about him, want the benefits but not the person. Enjoy life, this world, relationships, family, but don't relate those to the character of your creator. Not sure he deserves any of our precious time. He certainly doesn't tell me how to live. although you might blame him when things go wrong. As long as I don't let myself down, I will be okay. I wonder, is that you? Christians, again, fall into this from time to time. When we focus more on God's things than on God himself, when our vision of heaven is the good things God can give us, rather than the wonderful presence of our ever-giving, ever-loving Father God. So maybe you need to refocus onto Jesus this morning, because this is a bit like those subjects in our story earlier who take the king's gift and shut him out. Well, if we cannot work to achieve God's life, and it's obviously rude to try and take God's good things and life itself while slamming the door in his face, then what must we do? Jesus says the work God requires is to believe in him. He describes what it means to believe. He says in verse 35, believing is coming. Come to him. Come hear his stories. Come to church or somewhere you can find out more. It's great to be together this morning. That's what we're doing. Jesus says believing is looking to him, verse 40, trusting in him. It is in Jesus and nowhere else that life can be found. Jesus says believing is receiving because it is given, so you freely have it as you receive the gift of life in the king's kingdom. Faith, belief, is not a work to do to achieve. It's a relationship with a generous Father God who welcomes you into his family. This gift does have a price tag, and God bore it. He is just, and all evil, all kind of wrongdoing and justice must be dealt with, wiped out and punished. But Jesus did it for us on the cross. A relationship with the Lord God can only happen because Jesus, as the bread of life, was broken for you and for me. On the cross, Jesus suffered judgment by his Father for all the wrong and selfishness and rejection in the world, so that we wouldn't have to. He offers us a swap. If we will depend on him as the bread, the basic necessity of our lives. And so we do hear a voice saying, come, bring me your rubbish, your brokenness, your rejection, and I will give you Jesus' status as a child of God. If we will just trust in him and take him as our king. Baptism is a picture of this. Great to have a baptism. It's a great reminder of how this is a gift to be received. Hallie didn't do anything to achieve her baptism. She probably didn't even ask for it. And it's certainly not earned. Baptism's completely meaningless on its own. Baptism cannot achieve anything other than maybe getting slightly wet. There needs to be a relationship with Father God through Jesus. And that's what baptism is a picture of. And that's why Steve and Gemma promised to bring her up, reading the Bible, praying, why the church welcomes her to be part of God's people, because she needs help, like we all do, to trust in Jesus, coming to Jesus, looking to Jesus on the cross, and believing in Jesus for her life. And Jesus says to you, believe in him, the only necessity for life. Now, if you've been paying attention, you may have spotted that this free gift does change your life. It does mean living with Jesus as king of your life, not just receiving his good things and ignoring him, but seeking to do what he asks of us. But this is no burden at all. It is what you were made for, the truly happy, fulfilled, satisfied life, not hungering or thirsting for meaning, but resting in who you are as a child of God's, and then raised through death to eternal life. And even more, there's complete assurance. Jesus says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. The Father gives you to Jesus as a welcome gift. Verse 37, all those the Father gives me, Jesus says, will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So do not worry about what happens when God finds out the mess in your life, the mess you can make of relationships, how you fall short of your good intentions, how you might have mucked things up. He says, whoever you are, whatever you have done, if you turn and trust in Jesus, you will never be driven away. And it is a work of Father and Son together. Verse 38, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. You stay saved because of Jesus' obedience to his Father, not because of your obedience. That's a wonderful truth. You stay saved because of Jesus' obedience to his Father, not because of our obedience. Jesus will not lose you. He keeps you forever. So the king has come. He's come with a gift for his loyal subjects, the gift of life, now and forever. He will not drive you away if you come to him. So my question for us this morning, will we keep trying to achieve good things and reject his rescue, his offer of himself as the bread of your life? Will we continue to take from him and ignore him? Or will we come, knowing that we will never be driven away? Will we look to him on the cross and believe? Because Jesus is the bread of life, not a physical food to satisfy for an hour or two, but he is who is needed for eternal life in God's family. And if that's piqued your interest, if that's the first time you might have heard that sort of thing, or if you're a long-term member and you just want to ask things, do ask use the question sheets. Come and talk to me later. Come and find out more on one of our courses. Jesus is well worth checking out. Let me pray for us now. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus into the world. We thank you that he reveals who he is through his amazing doings, like the miracle, and his amazing teachings. Help us to see him clearly. Help us to see the good change in our lives he can make, if only we will come to him. Amen.